Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Spend my dollar.
It's not about what you want. It's about what you're willing to do to get it. Run it again.
Hello and welcome.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
When you give me a hard time.
For the listeners that didn't get to go.
This is the payback.
Alabama wins!
What you did last year really doesn't matter.
Our goal is to have the kind of team that nobody wants to play.
Hi. Right.
Hello and welcome to a celebrate edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. After Alabama defeated Georgia Saturday in Atlanta, after the trophy ceremony, after all the confetti, the work was done. No 24-hour rule. The mission was achieved. No good job, but the goal was accomplished. No need to fret over variables outside the team's control. Alabama stamped complete with rousing clarity their 2023 season. From loss to a rainy day in Tampa, through a revenge tour, an improbable trip to Atlanta. There was nothing left to do and only one thing to say. Celebrate. Today we focus on the team and the game. We'll talk selection and bowls and playoffs. We'll do that another time. But today, this performance and this accomplishment is center stage. Alabama went into the Mercedes-Benz Stadium with great confidence, and a tremendous challenge was ahead of them. We all know the outcome, but don't let this moment pass. The resilience, confidence, effort, dedication, improvement, every bit of persistence over months was required. Getting to do battle with Georgia was the reward for slavishly doing battle with themselves. This is a team we can all be proud of. Roll Tide. All right, let's take it to the field. And speaking of the field, Alabama played incredible. On paper, the Tide wasn't all that spectacular. Credit the opponent for that, but Alabama rose up at all of the right times. Alabama only had 3 of 13 third down conversions, but 2 of 2 on critical fourth downs. Alabama only had 306 total yards, but had 3 timely touchdown drives. 192 yards, a 69-yarder, and a 75-yarder. One to take the lead, one to extend the lead, and one to preserve the lead. Timely play. Alabama yielded a significant punt return, but Alabama also seized a turnover. Alabama on the day was outgained, but as a team, played clean with only 3 penalties and was incredibly focused, where they edged time of possession and they overcame injuries down the stretch. Milroe himself was true to form, or true to that form. Milroe was 13 of 23, a 50% passing day. He had 192 yards, 2 touchdowns, so many clutch throws. He had a long of only 28. This is a quarterback early in the season who's apparently, his apparent only asset early in the season was just chuck it down the field. And his long Saturday against Georgia, a name brand opponent, number one team, undefeated for 29 straight ball games. His longest pass was only 28 yards. Milroe hit 8 receivers. He hit the trifecta again. He had a wide receiver, a tight end, and a running back. And the two touchdowns, receiver and running back, hit those. Milroe also had 14 carries for 29 yards. And in a strange sort of twist of football math fate, his long was 30, although he netted only 29. Of course, they factor in the sacks in that. And Milroe, the long, was on the Alabama's last possession of the game when they were driving to ice the game. So his biggest run, his best run, his biggest sort of moment carrying the ball was at a critical time where Alabama was working to run out the clock. There's no doubt that Milroe was worthy of the game's MVP, even though it wasn't his best performance. And I'll say, I think the fact that Alabama, under Milroe, could go into the Dome playing Georgia and walk out with a win, with Milroe not playing his best game, is itself a signal to how well Milroe has progressed. We've all seen the star quarterbacks that put up the blazing numbers and lead their team to victory. But we hear this so much about in the NFL, and we see it in college sometimes as well, is what do you do when you don't have your fastball? It's a baseball analogy used against football that I'm extrapolating to Milroe. But how does a pitcher perform when they don't have their best stuff, when their fastball's not on, maybe their curve's not, they're not breaking? Can that pitcher, is there enough moxie, enough wile, enough guile in that pitcher to still have a good outing, to still have a good day? Quarterbacks are the same way. When you're not perfectly on, can you still have a good day? Can you still lead your team to victory? That is the sign of a good quarterback, not always a stuffed stat sheet. And Milroe delivered on that too. He's been filling the stat sheet all season long. And in a day when he was unable to fill the stat sheet, although it wasn't a terrible day, it just wasn't up to a standard he's been set, he didn't tank the team. The team didn't tank as a result of that. The team played well. The team played championship caliber ball and beat the vaunted Bulldogs. That, in a strange sort of twist of fate, almost does the sort of the complete circle, the complete evolution, progression of Milroe. Look, I'm not going to say he's arrived, even though it sounds like that's what I'm saying. He still has a lot of work and development to do. But what an interesting sort of plateau or milestone that he's reached. This team that could have been a 4 or 5 loss squad in that rainy day in Tampa is a 1-loss SEC champ going to the playoffs, and a quarterback who, again, I raised my hand, didn't think would be the starter, maybe not even the backup, given the style of play that the team wanted to espouse, that Saban wanted to espouse. Milroe has achieved so much this season, and again, a performance that we should all be pleased with, and I say proud of as well. So really pleased with Milroe's performance on the day. And I just like sort of the microcosm that this game sort of represents, that Alabama was able to win. Milroe was able to lead the team to victory, even though it was not on paper his best performance. So I think that's I'm running that point into a ground, but I think that's an interesting accomplishment, and I like the juxtaposition there. Our running backs, I thought, were sound. Jace McClellan was out, and so Roydell and Jam carried the load. Roydell had 16 carries, 64 yards, a touchdown, and a long at 12. He had 1 reception for 9 yards. Jam had 9 carries, 23 yards. No touchdowns carrying. His long was only 8, but he had 1 reception for 28 yards for a touchdown. And that 28-yarder was Milroe's longest pass on the day. So it was a real wheel route to Jamarian. I thought both Roydell and Jamarian ran hard and physical. They didn't have long runs, but they kept the chains moving, and they continued to sort of press Georgia with a very, very physical style of play. It was much needed by this Alabama team. The wide receivers, there were really 2. There was a collection of receivers that caught passes. We talked about that under Milroe. Isaiah Bond clearly stood out amongst the crowd. He had 5 receptions for 79 yards. He had a long of 22. On the last, on Alabama's last touchdown drive, which was a critical drive to continue the game forward, Isaiah Bonds had most of his three, most of, I think he had 3 catches, 58 yards on of his 5 and 79. So Isaiah Bond, again, similar to the Auburn game, played well all day, but played that little extra when Alabama needed it most. Isaiah Bond, the second half of the season, has really emerged as a playmaker for Alabama. Jermaine Burton had 2 catches for 28. He did have a touchdown, a beautiful touchdown where he sort of seemed to grab the ball against his helmet, and at least from my seat in the stands. And his long was 58, or was 15 rather. And so Jermaine certainly had a big day for Alabama as well. The offensive line was solid, especially considering the opponent. They really had to, the offensive line really had to raise their level of play, and I thought they performed well on Saturday. J.C. Latham did have a legal receiver downfield penalty, which is always, we haven't had many of those this season, and it's been several weeks since we've had one. I believe it was Dalcourt last time. And that's always something that you run the risk of when you have a mobile quarterback, a quarterback that's subject to run. And so J.C. went down, sort of clear space, expecting the quarterback to run. And Milroe threw the ball, and so he was flagged with a penalty. It's hard to get on to J.C. too much about that, especially when it's outside of the design of the play. Within the design of the play, you know, 1001, 1002, 1003, you know where they're going with the ball. You know the play call. You shouldn't be running down like that. But you get to, you know, 1007, 1008, 1009, and the play still hasn't unfolded, and you know the quarterback is prone to run, and maybe you catch it out of the side of your eye. The fact that you're downfield, it's hard to. That is a victim of circumstance rather than a misperformance by Latham. I do want to call out Seth, and Seth had probably as many bad snaps or low snaps, snaps down by the ankle, sort of below the knee. He had probably as many of those as he has had in several weeks. I might even go back to the Texas game. Milroe fielded them all cleanly. There was nothing that went over his head or was a big loss like in the Auburn game. And we've had that happen a couple of 3 times this season. But it was a lot of just lower, like he's trying to get out too quick and not getting the ball, sort of not completing his follow-through. And it's interesting that may be Texas and Georgia, where Seth had his worst performances in those regard. And I wonder if that's a function of the caliber and quality and the size of the offensive or the defensive line that he's going against. So that's an interesting sort of thought process there. Next opponent being Michigan, that may sort of fall in that category as well. And so I think that's something that Seth, you know, get a Snap-O-Matic or something that he needs to spend time with over the next several weeks. But I think there's an opportunity for Seth to continue to improve there. I just wonder if there's not a parallel based on who the opponent is. All right, let's talk mini game ball on the offense. There's a lot of characters that we could choose from. And I'm going to go a little bit sort of off the radar, or at least it feels that way. And I'm going to go Tyler Booker and Jaden Roberts. I'm giving mini game balls to the Alabama interior linemen. I thought they played very, very well on the day. And I've probably given Jaden a shout out a couple times. I mean, he is the third team right guard, and so it's hard not to want to give him a shout out. But Tyler Booker and Jaden Roberts, maybe the best guard combo in the conference. I want to be a little careful before I say the country, but I think they would be in the running for it. Those guys are just monsters, and certainly performing well for the Tide this season. Look forward to having them back through the postseason and into future seasons as well.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's flip the field and talk defense, and let's call it what it is. The Alabama defense was the hero of the day on Saturday. Alabama held Georgia scoreless for five consecutive possessions after Georgia scored a touchdown on their first possession. And Alabama defense held Georgia. There was a field goal in there. So Alabama held Georgia eight possessions between touchdowns. And so their first possession was a touchdown and their 10th possession. And so there were eight possessions sort of sandwiched in that middle where Georgia was not able to score a touchdown. And across those eight possessions, they managed only a field goal. That is the defense rising up. It looked early like, ooh, this could get ugly fast. This could get late early with Georgia marching down. A lot of misdirection, looked really good on their opening drive, and Alabama just said nope, and there was a personnel adjustment, not a personnel adjustment, but an alignment adjustment made by the defense, and it really, really allowed the Alabama defense to rise to the occasion, and it stymied Georgia for much of the day. Late in the game, the Alabama offense got rolling a little bit more, as did Georgia. And there were more scores late, but it was enough. Alabama, having held Georgia out of the end zone for most of the day, was enough to allow the score differential. The Alabama defense only allowed 4 of 12 on third down conversions, held Georgia to 78 yards rushing. That may be their season low. If that's not, their average 2.5 yards per carry. I would assume has to be a low on the season for Georgia. Brock and McConkey were eight catches for 91 yards, zero touchdowns. You could reason that eight, for a buck 10 and a touchdown might be each of their stat lines, and their combined stat line was 8 for 91, zero touchdowns. So that is that's phenomenal. Georgia fans may make the argument that, well, they were both hurt, and while true, neither were injured to the extreme of John Mechie or Jameson or even a Harrison, Marvin Harrison Jr. So injured wide receivers seems to play a role in these games with Georgia. And I guess for Alabama certainly, and for greater college football, we're glad to see the shoe on the other foot in that regard on this game. Though they did perform and they did put up numbers, crediting certainly the Alabama defense here. Alabama did force a fumble, which followed a suspect call by the officials. Stopped the clock when it looked like Milroe down, but he got up and continued to run. And upon replay, he had been drugged down on top of the defender and then rolled off the other side of the defender. He was never down. There was never a knee or an elbow or a forearm or a butt cheek. There was nothing that could have been classified as Milroe being down. And so that was a miss by the official. And so fortunately, when Alabama punted the ball a couple of plays subsequent to that, there was a fumble, and Trez Marshall was able to pick that up. I love what Trez said. He said, I wanted to pick it up and run it in and score, but that was a, and I'm paraphrasing, He said, but that was a city fumble, not a country fumble. And he was talking about the traffic and all of the people around. And so it was like a city environment because there was so much traffic and people around that I'm just going to fall on it. Whereas a country fumble, there would be no one around and he'd have plenty of time to sort of slow down and pick it up and run. So I thought, I love that characterization. I've never heard that before. And I'll see that may be one that we look at adopting. I like sort of the characterization there and what that represents. Let's talk about some of the individual players like we do, and it's some of the same names, you know, and of course it's going to be, but Terry and Arnold was in on six tackles, again, one pass deflection, and he was chatty. Boy, we see it sometimes on the TV where he's chatting up the defender, but in the stadium at the game, watching him, and they would show him on the big screen sometimes, he was always talking to the receiver. I don't know if they were making dinner plans after the game or what, exchanging Christmas lists, but they were always Terry and Arnold was always talking with his receiver. And he's talked about that's part of his game. We don't often see that on just the telecast. And probably in this game, there wasn't a lot of that visible on the telecast. But just watching it live and keeping an eye on Terry, and definitely a lot of chatter there. That was fun to see. Malachi Moore was in on five tackles. And in fact, all of his tackles were solos. Trez Marshall was in on five tackles. And he also had the forced fumble we've talked about. When you look down the stat sheet, there's a lot of players that have four or five, sort of six tackles. That means there was a lot of people contributing. There wasn't just one person sort of racking up all the tackles. It was everyone rising to the occasion. We don't often see that, but against Georgia Saturday, we certainly did. Dallas Turner and Justin Aboibe each had a sack, and Trey Amos. What can you say about Trey Amos? And if you didn't know that McKinstry went out, you wouldn't have known that McKinstry went out. Trey Amos stepped in. Kool-Aid McKinstry went out, got popped in the head. So we went out under the concussion protocol. We continued to watch him on the sidelines, or watch for him on the sidelines. He went, you know, immediately into the tunnel or into the tent. And then there was a later time we saw him on the sidelines and he was in street clothes. So any sort of question, hey, what is the injury? Is he coming back? He was certainly not coming back. The fact that he was walking on the sidelines, that he walked off the field, were all good signs. In the moment, we didn't know what was happening. And then when it was reported that, hey, it was a concussion, he's under the protocol, he's not going to go back in, then we knew, you know, Trey Amos is going to have to play a more sustained role. We also know Kool-Aid's going to come back, and he's going to be able to be back for that. So that's certainly good. But let's pause. Trey Amos played phenomenally. He was targeted immediately. I was sort of kept track, and there were three, maybe four instances where Trey Amos was specifically targeted on plays by the Georgia Bulldogs. One being the very first play that he was in the game. So the Georgia saw McKinstry go out. They immediately, and there's a couple of moments there where he's slowly going off the field. And the Georgia coaches were absolutely talking up. What can we dial up? What can we dial up to that side? Let's attack the new guy. He's been sitting cold on the bench. Let's attack the new guy. And Amos definitely stepped up. He had two pass deflections. There was a possession where Georgia was desperately trying to score a touchdown, and they sent Brock at him, and Amos was able to knock that ball down. So that was another of the pass deflections as well. And so Georgia, everything that they had, they were throwing at him, and Amos rose to the occasion. We've talked about individual improvement, individual players making improvement over the course of the season, and Trey Amos is an example of that. Against Texas, when Alabama, and we talked about this in the podcast, Alabama was rotating. When we went to dime, we moved Terry over and bring Amos in, and so there's sort of a movement amongst players, and Texas went after Amos, and other teams went after Amos, and had success, and as he has continued to progress, maybe the last sort of third of the season we've talked about, he's participating sort of in the no-fly zone in the secondary. And Saturday, specifically with Georgia, their quarterback, who did have a good day, and some of their feature receivers, they specifically targeted Amos, and he had a tremendous day. Amos is the transfer from Louisiana, And so it's a big step up to the SEC, and certainly Alabama, and playing at this level, SEC championship level. And he is also one of the players with Jalen Key that came in after A-Day, so didn't even have the benefit of A-Day. So it has been on-the-job learning for these two players, and Trey Amos has certainly stepped up. He did not participate in Senior Day, so there's some speculation that he'll be back next season. I have him penciled in, and I've probably commented this before, I have him penciled in as one of the starters at corner position next year. And I originally was forecasting it would be Tarian and Trey at those corner spots, and Tarian may have played himself into an early round NFL selection, so Tarian may go ahead and go on. But it's good to see Trey perform so well in a situation of need for the team, and then certainly for future implications for the Tide as well. Mini game ball. I wanted to give Trey Amos the mini game ball, and I thought, no, I'm just gonna gush on Trey Amos just for a moment, because he played so well and played such a sort of lost to history performance, but was just absolutely outstanding. I wanted to spend the mini game ball talking about the defensive front, primarily sort of the front eight, or in a goal line situation. The defensive front had what I would call a mini goal line stand. Georgia scored the touchdown, but the defensive front forced Georgia to run five plays and burn 46 seconds when Georgia was trying to go fast. They, late in the game, Georgia got the ball back with 3-4 minutes left, and it's all about running the clock. And if they'll take a 3-minute drive for a touchdown, we'll sort of concede that. Rather be a field goal. We had points to give. We just needed to burn clock. And in that situation, we would trade points for clock. Georgia had a couple of big plays, and so they drove down to the five, and in what looked like, I think they drove down to the six, and they had a 5-yard run, and then it looked like, that was almost in, but it wasn't in, so they were just going to punch it in. And the Alabama defense rose up and forced Georgia to make, one, two, three attempts to get into the end zone there, which burned off critical seconds. Georgia's like, I'm trying to go fast. I know I'm going to score because we're just right here at the goal line. We're just going to bludgeon it in. But we need it now. We need it now. We need it not in 3 plays from now. We need it right now because we need those seconds on the clock. They eventually did score. They did something of an onside kick. Alabama recovered. But there was enough time left, and there could have been nearly a full minute additional, where Georgia's defense now had to prevent Alabama from converting first downs, and Alabama was able to move the chains and run the clock. But that 30 to 45 seconds, I think, is critical, whereas if Alabama had not been able to run out the clock, it potentially would have had to turn the ball over to Georgia again. So mini game ball, again, sort of lost in history, that gets compressed and sort of lost to the mindset. But that defensive front, those 3 to 5 plays, depending upon which ones you count, from the six, it was 5 plays, 46 seconds, burned off the clock. Again, when Georgia's just trying to score the ball fast, everyone kind of knows they're going to score, but let's make it take a minute or almost a minute. Because we need that time off the clock. Alabama's up by 2 scores at that point. And again, we'll trade points for time. Our defense allowed us to sort of get a premium on that expense. And so that's really what you're looking for in that situation. So mini game ball there to the defensive front. All right, let's move on and talk special teams. And tip of the cap to Will Reichert. He was 2 for 2 on field goals, had a long of 43. He was 3 of 3 on his PATs. That's a very sort of standard stat line for Will. And the magic is he's been racking up that stat line for a long time. And as a result, on Saturday, he officially earned the all-time scoring leader in NCAA football. That is amazing. That definitely puts him in position as the number one kicker that Alabama has ever had. And the fact that we've gotten to, as fans, enjoy that over the last couple of years, especially coming out of a time frame where Alabama didn't always have the best kickers. To follow that up with the best kicker ever, the leading scorer in the history of NCAA. It's one of those, Alabama does. It's one of those, of course that's going to happen at Alabama with Nick Saban. And certainly we're pleased and proud of our Will Reichert. So good on him, and certainly the benefit to the team. James Burnup was 5 punts for 233 net yards. He had a 46.6 average, it looks like. He had 3 inside the 20. He had a long of 56. He had 2. I won't go so far as to say shank, but he did have one that was a 39-yarder. Now, that's one of the ones inside the 20, so it's hard to penalize him for the 39-yarder there. And that resulted a couple of plays later in a fumble. And then he had one for 40 yards. I have to go back and look. Was that inside the 20? But that resulted in a touchdown by Georgia. So Burnup on the day did a very fine job. Alabama did have, this feels good. Alabama did have one kick return for 0 yards. And you think, well, that's sort of weird. Why is that a good thing? On the very first play of the game, a kickoff, Kendrick Law made an incredibly heads-up play. The ball was tracking to out of bounds, and he saw it coming, and he ran over, and he was very intentional, and he was watching the ball, but he was pantomiming his act to make sure that the official, are you watching? Like, he's concentrating on the ball, but in his mentals, he's thinking, I want the official to know exactly what I'm doing. And so he was very sort of demonstrative in how he did it. But he planted his foot in the field and sort of stomped it to demonstrate, I am in the field of play, and I'm reaching out of bounds to catch the ball out of bounds. And he sort of planted his foot out of bounds as well. And so that was ruled the kick out of bounds. And so Alabama got the ball at the 35 as opposed to the 25. So I thought that was a pretty clever heads-up play. It's a unique way. You don't see that very often. I can't remember the last time I've seen that. But it was a very heads-up play by Kendrick Law. I like when you think of a kickoff returner. I'll say kickoff returner. This could be true of punt returners as well. But you think of like a specialist position like that, where you're primarily looking for who's the fastest, shiftiest guy that can catch and make people miss, and is dynamic sort of in that flashy way. And this put them back there, and they're going to field the ball, and you know they're our biggest chance to make yards. And the focus is on the flashiness of just you know catching the ball and returning it. And I agree, there's a lot of value there. I like when those players and the coaching staff, you know, 80% of the job is catch the ball and utilize skill to return yards, right? Maybe 90% of the job that's to do. And then you got to like, when do you catch it? When do you not? When do you let it go over your head? So, but all of that is in the vein of advancing the ball. There's that 3-5% of the job that's all of the other rules, all of the other nuances of returning kicks. And to think that Kendrick Law is working on the 97% of the job, but he's also working on that 3% where I'm going to catch the ball out of bounds, demonstrate that it's out of bounds so that we get the ball in the 35 instead of the 25. You have a lot of players that are the flashy return style players that they don't think about that, and that would have been lost yardage. Now, I say all of that because I just love that nuancy sort of smart play. It didn't benefit Alabama very much. A little bit of sort of field position early on. Alabama was not able to score off that drive, punted, and then Georgia proceeded to score on their first touchdown. So that negated sort of any field position. Still a damn cool play that Kendrick Law had. And so heads up and hats off to Kendrick Law in that regard. All right, next up for this Alabama team is a long exhale. Alabama is in the college football playoffs, and we're going to do a bonus show on that that'll come out shortly. But Alabama is in the college football playoffs, which is a phenomenal accomplishment. And I want to separate, like, let's not get into the playoffs. Let's just, Alabama won the SEC and beat Georgia. Consider that statement in the context of September. Consider that in the context of that crappy, miserable, rainy day in Tampa where it looked like the season was going to go down the drain. And on Saturday, Alabama claimed the SEC title against Georgia, a program that Alabama is going head-to-head with, who reigns supreme over college football. And Alabama got another ride in them. And Alabama's going to the playoffs, and we're super excited about that. But Saturday's win was phenomenal, and we're certainly pleased with that. And we don't want to overlook that moment. So for that reason, we're going to separate these two shows. We're going to release them probably back-to-back, maybe even at the same time. But just as a nod to the different accomplishments, we're going to push those out a little bit separate. So in the meantime, if there's any questions or comments, please reach out to us, alabamafootballpodcast@gmail.com, or hit us up on iTunes. We love the reviews, and so we would love to have an opportunity in an upcoming show to share the reviews that we're receiving. Any questions, I'd love to have some dialogue with fans about that. In the meantime, again, take that exhale, celebrate this team. Take a moment to celebrate this team. Get ready for the holidays, get ready for the Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever we call it. Enjoy that time with family and friends, and get ready New Year's Eve. The tide will roll on Michigan. Roll Tide. Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just a shout out, a Roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach? Of course. Roll Tide.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.